Israel, Amrim Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Welcome Home, was written by Richard David and is dedicated to the current drive of the United Jewish Appeal.
I had been counting time to the rhythm of a century's march for 15 years. I had never walked a road, an open road, for 15 years. So this was nothing new. On Cyprus, we were the Maapilim, the undeterred. We, all of us, all 25,000 of us, were the Maapilim. The undeterred. We had a radio hidden in a packing case that one of the women used as a crib for her baby. It was little, it was weak, but this little weak radio was our bridge across the water. Usually we listened only at night, huddled about it to crush its sound so as not to disturb the baby, so the sentries might not know. But on this Friday afternoon, for some reason beyond my knowing, some impulse, on this Friday afternoon of May 14th, 1948, at 4 o'clock on this Friday afternoon, we turned it on.
Palestine Radio played Hatikva. Never before. They never played Hatikva before.
Shh. The sentry's coming. Turn off the radio.
That was true. Never before had the Hatikva been broadcast over the official radio of the land whose redemption it promised. Not until now. 4 o'clock, May 14th, 1948. The sentry had passed. We turned on the radio again.
Members of the National Council, delegates of the Yishuv, and the Jewish people, I shall read to you the proclamation of the Jewish state, which has been adopted by the National Council.
I recognize his voice.
First reading.
The land of Israel was the birthplace of the Jewish people. Here their spiritual, religious, and national identity was formed. Here they achieved independence and created a culture of national and universal significance. Here they wrote and gave the Bible to the world. Exiled from the land of Israel, the Jewish people remained faithful to it in all the countries of their dispersion, never ceasing to pray and hope for their return and restoration of their national freedom.
Shut it off.
Impelled by historic associations.
Now?
No, not yet.
I must hear it, all of it.
All right, now.
It is the natural right of the Jewish people to lead, as do all other nations, an independent existence in its sovereign state. Accordingly, we, the members of the National Council, representing the Jewish people in Palestine and the World Zionist Movement, are met together in solemn assembly today, the day of termination of the British mandate for Palestine. And by virtue of the natural and historic right of the Jewish people and of the resolution of the General Assembly of the United Nations, we hereby proclaim the establishment of the Jewish state in Palestine to be called Medinat Israel.
Oh, listen, listen.
The state of Israel.
Israel.
We hereby declare that...
He heard. He heard.
I say.
We're writing letters. You see? Here. Letters.
I just thought I'd let you people know that the water truck just pulled in. If you want your water ration, you'd better hop to it.
Well, we have some left from yesterday.
All right. I just thought I'd let you know. So long.
Thank you. So long. All right. Now.
We extend our hand in peace and neighborliness to all the neighboring states and their peoples and invite them to cooperate with the independent Jewish nation for the common good of all. The State of Israel is prepared to make its contribution to the progress of the Middle East as a whole. Our call goes out to the Jewish people all over the world to rally to our side in the task of immigration and development, and to stand by us in the great struggle for the fulfillment of the dream of generations for the redemption of Israel. With trust in Almighty God, we set our hand to this declaration at this session of the Provisional State Council on the soil of the homeland.
He's coming.
In the city of Tel Aviv.
Let him hear, too.
Sabbath Eve,
turn it up.
The 5th of
Let
Iyar,
everybody hear.
5708, the 14th day of May, 1948.
Here now, what's going on here?
Shh, listen.
Shehechiyanu, Bekiyamanu, Bekiyanu, Lazman Hazeh.
What's that he said?
He said, Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, that thou hast maintained and preserved us to witness this day.
That way, we learned the news. Those of us on Cyprus, those still in the camps of Europe, those in the ghettos of North Africa, the exiles who were to be ingathered, the remnants. But on Cyprus we waited. We knew time by the changing of the guard, and the barbed wire, finely twirled wire, still glutted the road. In July, the women and the children, the old and the sick, were taken over. Our turn did not come for 6 months more, not until January. But finally it came. Our turn came.
Isn't it wonderful?
Marvelous. I wanted to be sure to see you before we left the ship. I may not see you on shore.
Is someone meeting you?
Yes, a cousin. I had a letter just last week. I'm going to stay with
him. Oh, that's fine.
And here's Yaakov at Boisha.
Are you going with Nathan?
No, I'm going to a kibbutz. It's all arranged.
And you, Marshal. Where are you going?
I'm going to a hospital, I think. The doctor on the ship said I needed a rest. For my chest, you know.
How long?
Who knows?
Until I'm better.
Where are you and Rebecca going, Solomon?
We don't know for sure. I'm not much good at being a farmer. I want to open a store. Maybe a dry goods store.
Where?
Well, they said that it's all right to open a store if you're an invalid. So, seeing as I've only got one good leg, so I'll open a store. I don't know where, some new place, I suppose. The man told me it works like this. If a new community has 100 families, then it can have a fruit and vegetable store. 200 families, a meat and fish shop.
Oh.
300 families, a dry goods store. And 500 families, a barber shop. I'm glad I'm not a barber.
All right, you folks can start coming down the gangplank. But watch your step. Be careful.
Here we go, Rebecca. Hold my hand.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Good luck, Yaakov. We'll see you soon. Soon.
Take care of yourself, Moshe. You be sure and get better fast.
I will, Rebecca. I will.
Come, Moshe. I'll help you with your bundle.
Oh, thank you, Yaakov. But I can manage. I'm in Israel.
Because I had no relatives to go to, because Solomon and Rebecca were the only two people I knew, I went with them. After we landed, I remember the first thing that happened. We were sprayed with DDT. Everyone took it good-naturedly. Solomon even made a joke about it, I remember.
A fine thing. We spend 15 years waiting to see Israel, and as soon as we get here, someone spritzes sand in our eyes.
Then we had lunch. A good lunch, I remember, with fresh vegetables and hot soup. We had butter with our bread. After that, we received our identity cards and we were put aboard the trucks that took us to the reception center.
Is it like you expected, Solomon? The land?
It's so flat.
I thought there were mountains.
West, I suppose, near Jerusalem.
And... Well, it looks so desolate.
No, not desolate. Only lonesome. It's waiting. Waiting for us.
There's the camp. Over there.
Is that it? Driver, is that the camp?
That's it.
You see it, Rebecca? Over there.
Yes. Another camp.
Oh, but this isn't the same. This is Eretz Yisrael.
I know, but I... Oh, I'm being stupid. It looks so big.
It is big.
Do you see the people waving at the gate? There must be 1,000 of them. Maybe more.
Yes, I see them.
They're singing.
I hear.
It's Hatikva.
Yes.
It must be the next one.
It's all right. For the short time we will be here, it's all right.
Of course it is. It'll be fine. Perfect.
That's it. 45.
Yes.
Well.
Well.
Well, let's go in.
How shall I describe the place? A long, narrow room. A room so closely packed with army cots, with packing crates, with bundles, with people, that nowhere was there an inch of open space. Here and there, on ropes stretched from the rafter, a blanket or a sheet drooped like a rain-soaked flag, partitioning off a few bare inches in futile gestures of privacy. This was barracks number 45.
We've been assigned here. And number 45, this is my wife. I'm Solomon Kiemsler. This is Morris Katz. Is there some space for us?
There's a bed there.
One bed?
How many are you?
Three.
Take turns.
But we...
We all take turns. There are 53 of us here and 20 beds.
Yes,
but... It's all right, Solomon. It's all right. It won't be for long. It's all right. Now, I want to lie down. I'm tired.
We met our brothers in that hut. Yemenite Jews from Aden, Bukhar Jews from Russian Asia, Jews from South Africa, from Tangiers and Tunis, from Germany, from Poland. We were all lumped together. We were the ingathered. That night there was singing. We all joined in, all of us. We were in Israel, and we knew joy. The words to the song were simple. It is no wonder that on such nights we dance a hora. Later, when the singers and the dancers had sung and danced their full, we sat around, breathing the air, filling our lungs full of the sweet air of Israel. Then, from another little group from down the little street that ran between the barracks, a boy began to sing. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I remember thee not. If I see not my Jerusalem above my chiefest joy, every night, that first week at the camp, we sang and danced. The second week, only some of us sang. The third week, there was no singing. None of us felt like singing. The fourth week, Solomon went with me to the office of the camp director.
How do you expect people to stand it? It was bad in Europe. The DP camps were bad. We expected they would be bad. On Cyprus, that was bad too. But here in Israel, we didn't expect anything like this in Israel. How long do you think we can stand it? 4 weeks now. 4 weeks we've been living in that overpopulated pigsty.
You're in 45.
45.
I've just assigned five more people to 45.
Five more? You can't. It's impossible.
Well, what would you have me do with them? Spread blankets in the open?
There's no room, I tell you. Not an inch, nowhere.
They'll find a space.
Is this the way to treat people? People who have suffered as we have suffered to reach Israel? Is this how you're treated, like cattle?
When did you get here, Mr. Kiemsler?
In January.
Let me see. In January, 23,522 immigrants came to Israel. That was more in that 1 month That was more than came to Israel in the entire year of 1947. That was more than the number that came in the years 40, 41, 42, 43 together. 23,522 in January. February will be higher. 24,000 maybe. Maybe 25,000. It's figured that 100,000 people will come to Israel this year and we're fighting a war.
I know that. But it's an impossible situation.
Would you have us shut our gates to new immigrants? Should Israel do that?
God forbid.
Oh, may. So the gates, they open. So from all over the exiles come in. This little inch of land, suddenly it becomes choked with homesick people, people like you. Good, fine people. But impatient.
After all the years of waiting, do you blame us?
No. But what am I to do? I sit at this desk. I see the flood roll in. I know how miserable it is here, but what can I do about it? Our brothers throughout the world are helping. The United Jewish Appeal in America is doing more this year than ever before. So what's the answer? I can get up and get out. Let someone else worry about the complaints, or I can stay here. Try to make things a little better for everyone. Try to counsel patience. Try to explain that we need time, time.
I know it isn't easy. I know it. All that I want to know is when. When will they let us go to our new village? Soon? Next week, maybe?
Maybe. I can't say. Maybe.
Solomon remained patient for another week. That was the fifth week. The sixth week, he sulked. The seventh week, he would talk to no one, not even Rebecca to Noah. The eighth week, the trucks pulled up to our barracks.
Solomon! Solomon, the trucks, they've come.
Driver, here!
Are you all ready in there?
Yes, yes, we're ready.
What's your name, please?
Kinsler. Solomon Kinsler. Come on, Rebecca. Get the things together.
Sorry, sorry. I got no Solomon Kinsler on my list. Let's see. Ozer Ben Yaakov and family. Elior Ibn Noded and family.
The Yemenites. Only the Yemenites?
I suppose so.
They can go, but not us. Why should they be first? Tell me why.
I don't know a thing about it. I just go by the list.
Lists, lines, barracks, walls. How much do you think we can stand? Do you think we're rocks that they can set down on a spot and forget? That they can throw in some gully and forget? Well, they won't forget me. Not me. Morris, come with me. This is the end. No more. We can take no more.
I'm sorry you feel that way about it, Mr. Kinsler. I thought you understood the problem.
Understand? What do you want me to understand? You tell me there are no homes. All right, I understand that. I wait. But now there must be homes. The Yemenites in our barracks are leaving today. There must be homes for them.
Yes, their place is ready.
Why is their place ready and ours not? Why?
I can't answer that.
No, no, you can't. 5 years I spent in a concentration camp. My whole family torn from me. Then 3 more years in Europe in a DP camp. Then a year on Cyprus. 9 years without a home. Now, in Israel, there are homes, and who gets them? People who haven't seen a concentration camp. Nomads. People to whom a tent here is no different than a tent there. Why aren't the homes given to those who have suffered the most?
My friend, what you have suffered for 15 years, the Yemenites have suffered for 50. But that's beside the point. When living quarters are available, they are assigned on the basis of first in, first out. They were here when you arrived.
I'm not going to argue with you. Now listen. If we don't get our homes within the next 24 hours...
I'm sorry, sir.
What is it?
I just wanted to tell you that the trucks from Haifa are arriving.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Kinsler, another 2,000 immigrants are coming into the camp.
2,000?
Yes, the last of the Cyprus detainees.
From Cyprus? These are coming from Cyprus?
Yes. The Galilee docked this morning at Haifa with the last contingent. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Who's out there to meet them?
I don't know. I suppose some of the people...
Why didn't you tell us last night they were coming today? We would have had a real welcome ready. Banners, signs.
I'm sorry, I...
Well, you'll be late. Hurry, hurry up.
All right, Mr. Kimsler, don't push me. I'm hurrying. I'm hurrying as fast as I can.
As we stood there, watching the trucks roll up, I asked Solomon about it. When I suggested that he had acted just a wee bit strange, he looked up to me and grinned. He said,
"What's so strange, Morris, about a man welcoming a brother into his home? I've been home a long time, and they are first coming. First we were guests, now we are hosts. Welcome home, everybody! Welcome home!"
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Eternal Light drama today, Welcome Home, was written by Richard David and was dedicated to the current drive of the United Jewish Appeal. The music was arranged by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catens. Featured as Solomon was Leon Janney, and Norman Rose was the narrator. Cantor Robert Siegel was the soloist. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.